Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to On the Dean's List, a podcast that celebrates the art of conversation with your host, Dean Latticer.
Thank you, George. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to On the Dean's List. I'm your host, Dean Latticer, and I am delighted about today's show, having a dear friend on to talk about helping other people through challenges and good situations as well. My friend Lori T. Williams is joining us. She's the owner and managing attorney of a free legal referral service called Your Legal Resource. She's a resource to the general public in need of legal advice or representation in any area of law here in the Metro Detroit area. She's also a resource to the legal community itself by helping attorneys and service providers with business development training to grow their practice. Lori had a successful career in law for the first 14 years of her career and then transformed into the business of law with the creation of Your Legal Resource 12 years ago. And we'll get information of how you can get a hold of her a little bit later, but let's welcome her into the podcast this morning. Good morning, Lori. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Dean. Happy to be here.
I'm thrilled. We are old friends and co-patriots from the networking trail. And it was just kind of a natural to bring somebody like yourself in because sooner or later, one of us are going to need legal counsel or going to need support. And oftentimes you get that, well, who do I talk to? What's a good referral? Talk about your process and tell us a little bit about what you do and how you bring individuals and companies together with good legal representation.
Very well. Much to your point, my network is the reason my phone is ringing. All that networking we've been doing the last 12 or so years has
yep.
allowed my phone to ring every day with a different type of legal problem. And it could be somebody that needs me themselves or somebody, like yourself. You might know a friend that needs a lawyer and you say, well, call Lori. Maybe she can help you. So while I don't handle their legal problem myself, I know a lawyer in all the different areas of law throughout Metro Detroit. And, you know, I actually know 500 lawyers, and I refer to about 50 of them on a regular basis. And I listen to what the client's situation is. Sometimes they don't even need to hire a lawyer, but they want to talk about a legal problem. Other times they definitely know they need a lawyer, and it's just a matter of who can I connect them with. So I've formed a team of affordable specialists in all areas of law that are a good personality fit for the client and are affordable and certainly have the expertise that the client is looking for. So I make the law accessible to the average person that needs a lawyer.
We're told to have annual health care screenings, go to the dentist twice a year, go to the general practitioner. Let me ask you a question. Should an individual or a business owner have an annual conversation with legal counsel? Seems keeping in compliance would be a factor, or there's be it aging population and needing elder law, or changes in family situations, births, divorces obviously are an easy one, but it just seems like we live in a very complicated life, whether we're involved in litigation or not. Should people have regular legal checkups?
I love that term, legal checkup. I've used that in my marketing as well. You know, it kind of depends what the situation is. Not every area of law requires an annual legal checkup, but like you pointed, there's sometimes life transitions that will, maybe you've drafted a will 20 years ago, but you've gotten married since then or had children since then or gotten divorced since then or one of your beneficiaries has died. So these are all reasons why you might want to make a change to that will. And then there's changes in the law that have affected your estate plan. So if people don't have a legal checkup, maybe what they intended 20 years ago isn't really a fit for today's either law or your personal circumstances. So it's good to, talk to, I would say, a trusted advisor, whether it be your CPA, your attorney, your financial advisor. You know, certainly have at least an annual conversation. You don't necessarily have to redo your whole estate plan, or you don't have to, you know, I would say if you're a business, you're going to be talking to your attorney much more frequently than maybe somebody that only updates their estate plan every few years. So it just depends what you're involved in, but businesses have a lot more going on. They might be entering into contracts, or they might have new product launches, or they might get sued. So there's just all kinds of reasons why you might be talking to your attorney all throughout the year if you're in business. But if you're an individual, you know, you might talk to an attorney two or three times in your lifetime. It's just hard to say.
Now, when I'm sitting there and I have a specific acute need, whether it's a traffic situation, trying to get my estate together, are there certain types of questions that I should be asking at that point? Help me, because again, sometimes lawyers can be strong and proactive and such. Help us to go in and feeling good about this process, because sometimes people feel,
intimidated.
It's gotten so bad. Yeah, it's intimidating. It's gotten so bad I need to bring in legal counsel. Help us at least start to form in our own mind the kind of questions that we should be asking when we're sitting there maybe on a free consult or something like that.
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. I've tried to put people at ease at the very beginning because I want to kind of tee them up for what they're going to expect when they go to see an attorney that I'm going to recommend to them. And if they find an attorney on their own and don't go through me, they want to kind of make sure that this is an expert at what they are asking about. So let's say you're going to see your friend's divorce attorney, but you are, you know, maybe you're going to be involved in a criminal matter, and this attorney that represented your friend in a divorce has never handled a traffic matter or a felony or whatever it happens to be that's a criminal matter. So you absolutely want the lawyer. I say you don't want your lawyer practicing on you. We've all heard about practicing law, not practicing on you. So you want somebody that has dealt with the situation day in and day out. And if it's a matter that is in the court system, you want to know, I've been in this court, I've been in front of this judge so many times. You know, this is the 12th one of these I've handled in the last, 2 months. So you want to know that this lawyer has dealt with this. Now, what you want to listen for is if they say, yeah, I could do that. That's code for I'm going to do some research. I'm going to try to figure it out. I'm going to charge you some money, and we'll see what happens. Well, again, that's practicing on you. So you want somebody that is very well experienced in what you need. And you also don't want to hire a lawyer maybe that is, I always say, do you want a $2,000 divorce or a $20,000 divorce? Because I've met lawyers that handle the same divorce, but they charge very differently. When I was in law school, my professor actually used to charge, I think he said it was $10,000 for a consultation just to meet with the client. And then if he actually wanted to represent you, if he wanted to represent you, then the clock would start ticking and you'd start paying a retainer. This was like a meeting fee. It was like this $10,000. And I thought that was shocking. And he was always wearing the most immaculate suits and just so finely dressed. And now you know why. And then I happened to run into a friend, years later, 20 years later, and now his fee was $20,000 just to meet with you. So some people will charge an arm and a leg, and so when I say I refer to an affordable specialist, that word affordable is relative. You know, free legal aid might be affordable, or somebody might think that attorney's a bargain if it's going to save their business and this massive estate that they've accumulated over years. So we want to make sure it's a good fit, that this person's going to be a good fit for you, whether they're working with me in my free legal referral service or if they're going to see the lawyer themselves. Find out, how many times have you handled this kind of matter? What do you know about this judge? Or, what can I expect? What information do I need to bring to your office? You know, they should have those systems set up in place. And if they're just kind of winging it, you're going to wonder, what's this going to cost me at the end? And try to find that out up front versus say, sure, I'll hire you, and then you get this massive bill. $10,000? I wasn't expecting that. You want to know about these things well in advance.
You want, and I think that's important. I hear you saying, ask how somebody charges, what they charge, and for some people it might be sticker shock. Because, I bill out at $52 an hour. I don't bill out at $250, $300, and that kind of, but there's that idea there of what is it that they're doing for the money. And you're right. I mean, obviously there are certain attorneys who are going to, I think price oftentimes is weeds out people, good prospects or bad prospects on it, and you're also paying for expertise on it. You said a couple of interesting things I want to follow up on. One of the things is does the person know the judge? Do lawyers tend to have courts they practice more in? For example, I'm up in Rochester Hills. I know you're down in Beverly Hills, Southfield, or maybe somebody over on the east side, say Harper Woods or St. Clair Shores. Is it better to try to have somebody a little closer to where the incident occurred for that reason?
It depends, again, on the area of law. So when I practiced divorce law for 14 years, I would handle the tri-county area. So I would handle divorces in Wayne, Oakland, and Macomb. And I would say mostly Wayne and Oakland. But let's say you're talking about district court, and maybe it's a traffic ticket like you mentioned. You want to make sure that attorney, you know, let's say that attorney is located in, I don't know, Clarkston, but you've got a traffic ticket in Monroe, Michigan. Well, you want to find out, you know, number one, is that Clarkston attorney in Monroe, Michigan very often in front of that judge? Maybe they know how to handle a traffic ticket, but have they been in that court with that judge before? Do they know that judge peculiarities or preferences? So it's nice to know if this judge has been in front of these prosecutors or judges before for that type of a thing. Or if you're going through a divorce, you know, has this lawyer been in this court in front of these judges, you know, frequently? Or is this, am I bringing in somebody from the outside that they've never heard of before? And you just feel more comfortable if your lawyer is recognized by people when you walk in the courtroom, whether it's the judge's staff or the judge or other attorneys. You kind of get a sense of who belongs there and who's well-known or who's just kind of coming in for the first time.
Lori T. Williams is our guest this morning, the owner and managing attorney of Your Legal Resource. We're talking about the law and us. One of the things that I'm thinking about as you're talking, and I'm thinking healthcare analogies, and in this age of insurance and HMOs and PPOs, there's this thing called coordination of care, where you know you don't want the overlaps and the redundancies and such. Is there a way that you can coordinate perhaps coordination of representation? Because again, law is so specialized these days. Obviously, you wouldn't send a tax attorney to go do a divorce or vice versa, but are there things we should think about coordinating our legal resources?
Well, the answer might be a little self-serving. I could be your one-stop shop for legal. That's one way to coordinate it. But, okay. You know, you kind of look at your situation. If you're a business, you know that you're going to need an attorney that's familiar with business transactional matters, drafting contracts, reviewing contracts. Maybe there's a real estate component to your business. You're going to buy other locations or lease them, and you want to make sure the attorney understands that too. So, you know, I would say you have to look at what do you need help with, your business? Do you need help with your personal life? So that same business example, maybe they're also creating things in their business, like intellectual property, and they've got a patent that they need to create to protect something that they've designed. So you've got your basic, you know, business lawyer that's going to do the day-to-day, but you need it now an intellectual property attorney if you've got some intellectual property to protect, whether that's a patent, a trademark, or a copyright. And then you might need a litigation attorney. Let's say you've entered into a contract, but the other side's not going to uphold it. Well, maybe your business transactional attorney is great at drafting the contract, but you can't stop somebody from suing or force them to honor the contract, so you need a litigator, and maybe the lawyer you went to didn't do litigation. Some of them are just transactional, and some of them are just litigation, and some do both. So you'll have a sense of what do I need for me, whether it's for my business or my personal life. And if somebody doesn't know a lawyer, maybe they know one type of lawyer, like maybe it's the lawyer that drafted their estate plan, but they don't know a lawyer for business or for divorce or for bankruptcy or immigration, you know, who knows what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So if they run into the situation where they know they need a lawyer but they don't know where to go, that's usually when they call me. And I work with, you know, I say the little guy, you know, regular folks like you and me that know they need a lawyer but they don't have a clue who to go to. Or maybe they've heard of some lawyer, but they don't know. What are they like? How are they going to treat me? What's it going to cost me? Do they really specialize in that? So that, I take all that worry out of it. I'm giving them a referral to a well-vetted attorney that I've known for anywhere from 5 to 20 years in most cases. And that lawyer has been a specialist at what I'm referring them to for 10 to 30 years. So you're going to get somebody when you work with me that I know, and I know I like them, I trust them, I've gotten good results from them in the past when they've worked with my clients. So that's one way to go. But if you're going to go on your own, you just want to do a lot of due diligence. You want to ask a few friends, you know, do you know any good such and such lawyers? You know, it might be a bankruptcy lawyer, or, you know, this lawyer charges $1,500 for bankruptcy, but this one charges $2,500. You know, I thought bankruptcy was bankruptcy. How come they charge more? You know, so you'll get a sense based on what you need and talk to people you trust. Often you can go to your attorney, your financial advisor, or your accountant to get referrals to other professionals that they know, like, and trust who can help you in whatever situation you have.
There's the other side of that, and anybody who's watched afternoon local television and TV news and such, there's tends to be about, I'm going to say, 12 or 15 lawyers here in southeastern Michigan, and I know it's the same in every market, who advertise heavily. And I, you know, I don't want to get into the specific individuals, but any thoughts before you pick up the phone? I mean, you see them advertising for Social Security and disability. You see them traffic accidents and such. Is there anything that you would warn people listening about what to ask them, or is there a reason why maybe you might not feel as you would warn people to hold their breath for a second and before calling one of those more, shall we say, more advertised attorneys?
Mm-hmm. Well, there is one that we know that is at every sporting event, and I've actually heard this particular lawyer has very good cases, and he refers out the ones that aren't so good. So sometimes those are very good attorneys to call. Other times you might feel like you're a number if they have an extremely busy practice. You know, I call it a mill. Some attorneys mm-hmm. kind of give off that sense of, we just crank them in here as fast as we can. We're going to process as many people as we can. You don't want to feel like a number with your law practice, but a busy practice is not a negative thing, as long as they have enough lawyers to handle the capacity. So those offices tend to have very busy switchboards. People are calling constantly because they're top of mind. Every time you turn on the TV, you're going to see an ad, or driving down the highway, you're going to see their name. But, you know, often they'll do areas of law like you mentioned, injury. It might be an auto accident or disability. So these aren't the kinds of things you're going to call lawyers for on a regular basis. You might have an injury once in your life, hopefully no more than that, right? So, you know, you just want to feel comfortable with your lawyer. So if the idea of them having a very busy practice and not being able to return your calls because they're always in court, that might be concerning to you. So you just want to make sure that you're comfortable with whoever is going to answer your call. Maybe it's the paralegal. Maybe it's the legal secretary. Maybe it's an associate instead of that person's name that you have seen on TV. Maybe someone else is actually going to handle your case. The point is, you just want a good lawyer, and they could be in big firms, they could be in small firms, they could be at highly advertised firms, or one you've never heard of before, but somebody you know trusts them, and so you decide to hire that lawyer. So I wouldn't say yes or no that they're the best or they're the worst. It just comes down to the individual lawyer. You have to know that you're comfortable with their personality and their abilities.
So we need to trust our inner judgment on that, that
yes.
If the person feels that they have our best interests at heart, they are somewhat accessible. I mean, these aren't nursemaids, and they're not going to be there 24/7 for us, but if they return calls promptly, if there's good communication, those seem to be the benchmarks that I hear you telling me that it's like customer service. We all know when mm-hmm. we're being served poorly, and we all know when we're being served well, but we need to take our own definition and say, okay, this legal team, yes, I feel really good on them, and if I don't feel comfortable, I should take a step away. You know, don't buy hope, buy results.
Yep, and I think it's important for the attorney to set the expectations for that client in the first meeting, because the client might think they need to talk to their lawyer every week. And if you're in a litigation case, those go on for 2 or 3 years, and that lawyer may not have anything to say to you for 6 months. They're going to send you copies of things that they file with the court, and then one day you'll get a notice of deposition, and they'll want to meet with you before your deposition and make sure you're comfortable with the type of information they're going to be asking. And then there might be a lull again, you know, for a few months, and then eventually they'll go to mediation, and then there might be a settlement conference, and then a trial date. So there's a lot of hurry up and wait. You know, when you decide you want to hire your lawyer, you're ready to go right now. And, you know, you file the case, and then it might be 6 months to a year before you even go to court for anything. And you might not be talking to your lawyer a lot, but that lawyer is doing a lot of things behind the scenes on your behalf. They're sending out questionnaires called interrogatories that the other side has to answer. Depositions are being scheduled of not only you, but other people maybe who witnessed the accident, or treating physicians, or, you know, just different people that you don't necessarily, you're not involved in every step of the process. So if you don't hear from your lawyer, I don't want to say if you don't ever hear from your lawyer, it's not a problem, because if you have a question, call. But if there's a lull, like in a personal injury case, it's probably because, you know, there's nothing that they need to work with you on at that moment, but they're still working behind the scenes, and they're juggling a lot of cases. So there's phases where they're going to be busy at this stage, and then it backs off for a little while. Or in a divorce case, I find that clients really want a lot of hand-holding. And if you've got a kind of a gruff attorney that doesn't have time to answer your phone calls, well, you know, maybe they're great in the courtroom, but you probably want somebody in their office who's going to answer your phone calls, because you are the client. You are paying this person. You want to make sure you're feeling comfortable. Do they even know what's going on in my case? So, you know, the client will have their expectations managed, but they'll also want to feel good about the answers.
One idea I want to throw at you, and then I also want to talk about some of how you support the legal community on stuff. To me, it just seems like it would be a good idea all throughout this process to write things down, and I don't know if keep a journal or at least maybe keep a spiral notebook handy, to write things down, questions, ideas, because it just seems to me we have so many different thoughts about it. So just documenting first as you're coming to retain counsel, and then throughout the legal process, so having a fixed place where somebody could sit there, write down their ideas, and make sure that the little questions don't go under the carpet, the big questions get answered immediately, and just that somebody keeps their story straight, so to speak.
That's a great tip. And, you know, whether you're going to see your doctor or your lawyer, you know, you might be nervous in that meeting. And if you've been keeping track of things, you can at least refer back to your notebook. And, you know, I often, well, I don't know if often is the right word, but sometimes you'll hear of this in person or even on TV where people say, why didn't you tell the doctor such and such? It's like, oh, I forgot. You know, you're in the exam room and the doctor's only there for a few minutes. Same thing with your lawyer. You know, you might have a half hour or an hour meeting with your lawyer, and they might ask you a certain line of questions that they want answered. But, you know, there's some things you wanted to tell your lawyer and you completely forgot until you were on your way home. So if that happens, you know, send them an email. Lawyers today, you know, are so accessible. They have their cell phones with them at all times. They have to turn them off in the courtroom. But other than that, you know, they're going to see the emails. They may not be able to answer them right away. But if you think of something in the middle of the night, send them an email. You're not going to call them up and talk to them in the middle of the night, but they can return your message either through the email or, you know, call you up at another time. But sometimes it'll be you mailing something to their office. Sometimes you'll send them an email. But I think you make a good point of just keep that log of information going so you can write down questions, you can write down new information that you want to share with your lawyer, things that you want to make sure you tell the lawyer or ask the lawyer.
In the time remaining, and boy, this half hour has gone quick, one of the things that you also do is you help these service providers. You're taking highly educated professionals and helping them to market themselves. I mean, we all remember the day when you could literally hang out your shingle and you would create good practice on them. Talk a little bit about teaching your clientele how to proactively seek clients. I mean, and the big term I hear is not to be reduced to a commodity. So if you would just kind of, if somebody's listening, give us a little wisdom that on how to help service providers to get their brands and their names out there a lot more efficiently.
Sure. Well, I've been doing the consulting for attorneys and other professional service providers since 2008, and it was all about the time that our economy was kind of falling apart, and the legal industry overnight just had to wake up and do things differently. There was clients who were leaving the big firms and lawyers in the big firms that were being let go and people in smaller firms that the phone just wasn't ringing anymore. And so overnight, lawyers had to get pretty savvy about marketing in order to stay in business. And then the advent of social media popped up. That was something lawyers never even thought of before. And there's even like cyber law and cyber bullying, and there's all these like new areas of law because of these new technologies that have emerged over the last few years. So it was foreign to a lot of lawyers. So even though we have new tools, I think I go back to the old school of relationship building, and I help lawyers to determine who their target market is as far as clientele, who their target referral sources are. Who do you find for your practice can feed you the right kind of clients? Who else is that client seeing besides yourself? And those are people you can form either referral relationships with or strategic alliances where you're kind of their go-to person or they're your go-to person or you're doing joint marketing together. So I help lawyers think about the marketing process because they often have this misperception that networking doesn't work. They think, I went to an event and I handed out my card and I waited for the phone to ring and nothing ever happened. And they didn't realize that networking is a process, that event they went to was not the destination. It was the first date. So if you want to have a second date, you're going to have to spend some time with these people. So you don't have time to network with every single person. I mean, you and I don't see each other every day, but we've kept in touch for the whole 12 years I've had this business. So you just want to make sure your network's aware of you. And, you know, they might be referring somebody to a lawyer who isn't you because they haven't seen you in 5 years. So you have to have a presence, and that's a website, and that's social media engagement, and that's going to some live events, and that's being accessible to people. It's not always just about billing by the hour. It's about how can I be a resource to you. So there's attorneys who will brand themselves as an expert in their area of law, and I did that when I was a family law attorney, but for the last 12 years, I branded myself as a resource. So I'm always just putting out, you know, tweets on Twitter about different articles that are things about happening in the law. Or on Facebook, I might, you know, have a video that I posted for my business or be posting something on Facebook that's legal related. But usually on Facebook, I'm more social. It's more about here's what's going on with my kids or here's, you know, an interesting restaurant I went to. So you have to use the right social media avenue that what your people are interested in listening to. And you just have to test that out and figure it out for yourself.
Boy, this half hour has gone quickly. There's two things I know you want to share about. Obviously, I want you to help people, give them your contact information is the best way to follow up with you. And you also have some sessions coming up in March and April for professional service providers. In the minute we have left, kind of tell us how to find you and how people can interface with you.
Certainly. Well, if you have any legal questions, whether you need a lawyer to advise you about something or you know you need to hire a lawyer to draft a document, whatever it is, if you have a legal question, certainly call me at 248-594-4470. You'll always get a free consultation with me. You can email me at Lori, which is L-O-R-I, at bestlegalresource.com. And on my website, I also have a contact page where it's kind of a question box. You can fill out that information and send me a private email right through my website. If you're not sure you even need a lawyer, but you have a question or of some sort, you can communicate with me that way. And if you're a professional service provider and you're looking for some more ideas on how to effectively market your practice or get more effective results from the networking you're doing, we do have a business booster coming up. I co-lead this with John Lankford. It'll be March 17th and April 28th from 10 to 12. And you can find out about that at bestlegalresource.com/event.
And we're going to have to leave it there, Lori. You, Lori T. Williams, you are on the Dean's List. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. And if people want that website, it's on the show page. I'm Dean Lazar. Thanks for listening in. It's been On the Dean's List, the podcast that celebrates the art conversation.